Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. I was debating about whether or not to do a show today, mainly because I'm not feeling all that well. So what I settled on is I'm going to do a fairly short show. So without further ado, let's get right on in. So there is a big fallout that is coming from Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter, and that is the ending of censorship, or most censorship, or at least some censorship, allowing people to freely debate. And the left is freaking out because when people are able to freely debate, all the leftist arguments are exposed as being empty and full of crap. They've gotten too used to being able to put out whatever dumbass opinion that they have, and it wasn't allowed to be challenged. And as Elon has been going through Twitter, he acknowledges that there is major left-wing censorship machine that has it out for conservatives. So he's confirming what we already knew, and that is that the left is censoring the internet, and they're doing so in a way that basically cuts conservatives out of the conversation so that there is no challenge to the lies, propaganda, and pure bullshit that the left is pushing. They're not used to having anybody being able to push back because it's either, you know, accept what the left says or you'll be deplatformed. You're not allowed to say anything that they don't approve of. And that's how it's been for a while, because the left, being authoritarians, cannot, under any circumstances, allow free speech, because free speech exposes the corruption, the lies. It shines a light, and cockroaches don't like light. Now, some people go off, oh, you're demonizing them. Yeah, well, the left says much worse to us, so I don't really give a crap what a bunch of hypocrites have to say about my comparison to light being shined on cockroaches and they scatter. Now, as we have gone through and seen that Elon is lifting the censorship, what is going on? Well, a bunch of powerful leftists are going out and trying to organize an ad boycott. No advertisements on Twitter until Elon Musk bends a knee and once again re-implements the censorship that basically states that you're not allowed to challenge whatever the left wants to claim. That's it. And what's interesting, as I go through and I see a bunch of leftists cheering on censorship to the extent that it's Russia or the Chinese Communist Party, I got to thinking about the hypocrisy of the left. I know, the left-wing hypocrisy runs deep, it's nothing new. But think about this. The left is going out there and they're saying, you know, the evil rich people, oh, the rich rigged the economy. Oh, the rich are getting richer off of the back of the poor. And yet, when it comes to the internet, they demand that the richest among us, the top 1% elitist, determine what we're allowed to think, what we are and are not allowed to know, what we are and are not allowed to say. And when you go through, it's no wonder that, you know, the left can't figure out why things get more rigged and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Because all the rich has to do is go out there, put out a piece, oh, this piece of legislation that will only benefit the 1%, and claim that, oh, this will hurt the 1% and be a big championship for the middle class. And anyone who tries to challenge that with facts is censored, blocked, and removed, so that no one's able to see what the actual details of the legislation is. Then it gets passed with lots of left-wing support, and the rich get richer. As a result, the wealth gap gets even larger. And as I go through and I think about this, whether or not the left realizes it or not, but while they're out there chanting, eat the rich, the reality is the left is the 1%'s bitch. And all of this is really just a continuation of ideological subversion that the left has been implementing. Now, if you're not familiar with the term ideological subversion, it actually comes out of the Cold War 1980 as Soviet defectors were explaining what the Soviet Union was actually engaged in. The whole spying and espionage wasn't really the main activity that Russia or the Soviet Union was engaged in. It was ideological subversion, which is to try and infiltrate the school, to try and infiltrate higher education, Hollywood, and the news media, in order to push a false narrative, in order to push constant propaganda without challenge. And if you expose people to pure propaganda long enough without any challenge from the truth, then over time they become so brainwashed that no matter how much facts, no matter how much data you can provide a person, they are unable to come to any reasonable, sensible conclusions outside of what they were told to think. Now, as I say that, transgenderism comes to mind as a result of ideological subversion. In fact, transgenderism in and of itself shows just how powerful, effective ideological subversion has been in this country. And after having held on to power as long as they have, to control, censor, and filter the internet, they're not going to let it go without a fight. Why do you think it is that whenever we tried to build an alternative platform, whether that be Gab, Parler, Gitter, MeWe, and so forth, that they haven't been able to gain much in attraction? Well, first off, for some of them, it has been almost impossible to get the word out. But for others, think about what happened. Google and Apple go out there and they ban them from the App Store, which should be illegal. Think about this. Google and Apple, only two companies deciding what you are and are not allowed to have on your phone. Now, of course, they go off and they say, well, you can download it, you know, separately straight from their website, but you don't get the automatic update. So they inflict maximum pain on you in order for you to go off and be able to manually download and install, which, by the way, a lot of people don't know how to do. And with all of the security protocols on the phones, you have to really dig through a lot of websites, Rumble videos, YouTube videos, and so forth to get instructions on how to unlock your phone security so that you can download. You know, it's a monopoly. And they try to say, well, it's part of the user agreement. So the user agreement is they get to determine what it is we can and cannot have on our phones and thus what we are and are not allowed to know, whether or not we're allowed to have access to the truth. But they are able to go through and ban them from the App Store. Then the other tech companies say, oh, you're not allowed to, the other tech companies as far as web hosting says, oh, yeah, we're not going to host your website. And it all goes down, right? Unless they bend the knee and agree to various levels of censorship. It's the 1% that is going out there, pulling all the strings, determining what it is people are allowed to know. And as they go through and say, okay, only this narrative is allowed. Well, basically, between the traditional media and new media, it's all controlled by the same leftist 1%. And when I say they control what it is we are not allowed to know, what we can and cannot know, it's not necessarily what truths we are allowed to know. It's basically what it is they want us to think. Because if they control all of the world's information, then they can control what the world thinks. And that is the goal. What do you think they're going through with all of their secret societies? What have they been pushing for? That they're for a shadow government that most people don't know about. Have you ever heard of the Bilderberg Group or the Bohemian Grove? I mean, these are people who are the top elitists going around planning what's going to happen or what they're hoping to implement, you know, globally for the coming year. And they're going through and censoring and blocking everyone's ability to know what the truth is. And so you go along with it. This is why the left is a bunch of mindless drones. You know, if you ever watch Star Trek and seen the Borg, that's the left. They have all facts, data, and knowledge erased from their mind, and then they're fed what it is they're supposed to think and believe. Think about the George Floyd riots, for example. You know, the media goes out there and they lie about the George Floyd incident. George Floyd died of a drug overdose. But they kept pushing the false narrative that it was due to racist police brutality and so forth. And they stir up anger. They incite violence. And then they direct that violence, right, towards the community, right, that the protesters live in. So the protesters go out there and they burn down their community. They burn down their business districts, many of which were black owned. Black Lives Matter claiming to go forth and represent black people are burning down black businesses destroying black communities. And the left-wing media and internet says, you're not allowed to call it anything other than a protest. Now, what do you think was the actual result of that? Yeah, we could talk about the fact that it was acts of terrorism, the billions of dollars worth of damages, but what else actually happened? Well, what happened was all those businesses being burnt down meant that the people in those communities, in order to get goods and services, had to go somewhere else. Somewhere like Amazon, somewhere like Walmart, you know, Walmart online, because maybe their local Walmart was burnt, but still, and going forth to basically anywhere else outside of their community in order to get what they wanted. What did that do? It drained that community of its economics because they were sending money, not spending it on the local businesses that keeps the money in the community to reinvest in the community, but it sends it outside of the community to elsewhere. And where would they go? Yes, the large big businesses that have the infrastructure to be able to deliver the product. And all of these mega corporations profited big time from the George Floyd riot, because basically what the left did was to direct, based off of misinformation, anger to burn down the competition, the small business Main Street competition to the billion-dollar mega corporation. But the left, they don't know that. They haven't figured that out. And when you go through and you take a look at COVID and you take a look at how Main Street businesses were all shut down, leaving what? Only the super mega corporations were able to be open, which again meant that all the money flowed out of the communities, especially minority communities, and into the hands of the biggest corporation, which created the biggest wealth gap, even more so than the George Floyd riot. And again, the left hasn't figured out the con. They haven't figured it out because of censorship. That's right. That's why censorship is so powerful, why the left will do anything that it can to destroy anybody that tries to end censorship, because censorship is their power. It's where they can go off and direct the left to take action that actually benefits the rich, increases the wealth gap, while making the leftists believe that they are taking a stand against the 1%, a stand against the rigged system, when really they're the agents of it. It's basically like the Matrix. But censorship also has its other uses. It's how the Democrats can create this false narrative that Republicans are somehow violent extremists, when the opposite is true. It's the Democrats. You know, you go through and you hear a lot about Nancy Pelosi's husband. And yet, as we go through and we take a look at what actually happened, the narrative that the left has pushed doesn't make sense. And we knew that going into this, as they rushed into politicizing it just before the election. But then we find out that the attacker is a hard left activist, not a conservative, but they will not ever correct the record. And with censorship on Twitter and Facebook, they can make sure that their indoctrinated, their ideologically subverted supporters will never know the truth. And even as the truth has managed to get out to some degree, the left keeps pushing the lie, even though they know people know they are lying. They don't care, because they know a lot of people will never figure out the truth. I mean, there are people who, despite the facts, data, science, evidence, and the fact that the truth has been able to get out there, still don't know that George Floyd actually died of a drug overdose. They actually believe that it was police brutality. And so they push the false narrative about Pelosi's husband being attacked by a MAGA extremist. And they go out there and they try to say that the right wing is violent, and then they don't want to go off and tell you stories about a man in Illinois threatening to skin Republicans alive and feed them to his family in order to stop him from winning. When, and in the rare cases, I'm not saying it never happens, but in the very rare cases where someone who identifies as a Republican goes out there and actually does do something harmful or violent, right? What happens? Oh, the Republicans are supposed to denounce them, take responsibility for whatever that the left wants to say caused that person to violence. But when the left, which is the majority of the case, when their supporters go out and commit mass acts of violence, what happens? Well, the Democrats say, well, they're not responsible for the actions of the individual, which is true, but they want to give the Republicans, you know, a standard that the Democrats are not going to accept for themselves and say that, hey, I can't apologize for all the things that people who support me do. My life would be very difficult, as Bernie Sanders says. But yet, he wants to apply a standard to his political opponent that he is not willing to accept for himself. The double standard hypocrisy. And because of censorship, things like that were allowed to go unchallenged. You know, the complete and total hypocrisy was able to go on, and they didn't ever have to answer for any of it. I mean, it is sickening. Now, think about how censorship during COVID worked, right? Remember when any claims about COVID coming out of a Chinese lab at being manufactured was censored as disinformation? And now it has been, you know, proven that Chinese labs were the likely origination. In fact, they don't even deny it anymore. But for a period of time, anybody who tried to say it was censored as spreading COVID misinformation. And have you ever noticed that those who demand to be the ones to censor the internet, the arbiters of truth, are often wrong? You think that's an accident? You think they're just stupid? Well, I mean, yeah, they're idiots, but the fact that they are censoring the truth and they get so much of their fact check wrong only goes on to show that the fact checkers are just propagandists, that it's all just a justification for censorship to be able to control you, the individual. In fact, when we go through here, and my voice is going to be giving way here pretty soon, so I'm not going to be able to go off much longer. But when you go through here and take a look at the Republicans coming out with a report that says there is a deep rot at the top levels of the FBI and DOJ, you know, first of all, no one here is surprised by that. But we also find out that the same people, the same corrupt official who are going through and trying to be saying that, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop was disinformation or misinformation, have a special portal into Facebook to flag posts for censorship. Now, that is important, not just because, you know, it goes off and talks about the extreme levels of censorship and corruption of government, but now it turns censorship into a constitutional fight. Think about this. The left's main claim right now is that, hey, you know what? These are businesses. If they want to censor stuff, that's their right as private businesses. Now, I argue differently for a long period of time that, well, they are claiming to be a platform. There are certain legal standards about being a platform, you know, for open and free communication and speech. You know, a telephone company is not allowed to listen in on your phone calls and then censor out whatever they disagree with. You know, and that, you know, these social media companies kind of have to play by the same rules, you know, where if they're going to claim to be a platform in order to get the legal protection, that they cannot go off then and act like a publisher. So it's already a criminal fraud what they're doing, because they are making billions of dollars lying about what they are. But when you go off and you see here, and this is an article from the Daily Caller, government officials have special portal to flag Facebook posts for censorship. Now this becomes a constitutional battle, because it's not just the company independently censoring you. It's actually the government that is censoring your speech through using the Facebook or whatever social media company as a middleman for the censorship. Well, if the government is going off and saying and telling you what you are and are not allowed to post, or telling the companies what they are and are not allowed to let their users post, well, then that is takes this to a whole new level, that it's not just the tech companies committing fraud, lying about being a platform when they're really a publisher, but it takes it to the level that it's actually the government violating the First Amendment and going through these companies who are acting only as agents of the government to censor your speech. That is a First Amendment lawsuit if I've ever heard one. And when you really go off and you think about it, what gets censored? Whatever the left goes out on TV and says, well, if anyone disagrees with this, they are spreading misinformation. And then all of a sudden, the tech companies say, anybody who says differently will be deplatformed or suspended for misinformation. I mean, it's collusion is what they are going through, and it's being directed by the top levels of government using the tech companies as intermediary. And having the ability to control what people know is too powerful for them to be willing to give up. All right, my voice has had all that it can handle today. I'm going to be trying to get a lot of rest in the coming week so that I will be able to get back to full-length shows. Everyone in the household at the moment is under the weather, and it's so bad that I only got but a couple hours of sleep. But I wanted to get something out here for you and give you some things to think about. So while we go off and we talk about censorship, why they want censorship, how it's criminal fraud, you know, what the tech companies are doing, and it's actually being directed by the government, which makes it an unconstitutional action that is going on. But more importantly, what I want you to come away with, if nothing else, is the realization that despite all the left's proclamation that they are against the rich and that they're trying to dismantle the two-tier rigged system, that in reality, the base of the Democrat Party is the bitch of the top 1%. All right, that's it for this episode. Have a great day.